Good evening. Let's turn to the book of Luke tonight, Luke chapter 11. So we've been on the topics of discipleship and evangelism primarily on Wednesday nights, and we're going to kind of continue that, but we're taking a little bit of a different angle tonight. Because the book of Luke itself, which is a book about discipleship, is going to change its own angle. Luke is going to give us how the teachings of Jesus have begun to advance beyond some of the aspects of discipleship when it comes to things like actually going and telling, declaring the gospel, and like we talked about it several weeks ago, being a person of peace and finding people of peace. And he's going to advance into some deeper levels of what it means to be somebody and how we can be somebody who wins people to Christ, who makes disciples. And one of those aspects that we're going to see in Luke chapter 11 is how prayer plays a role in outreach. Because we have a whole set of teaching on prayer here, but part of the teaching on prayer, Jesus is going to specifically apply to reaching other people and bringing something to them that they need. And so prayer is not simply, as we like to say, it's not simply asking and receiving. It's not simply something that we do as believers because it's something we ought to do. It's not simply a conversation with the Lord, but it's also a tool and a means for us to be used in bringing people to Christ and seeing them receive what they need to in the Lord. So let's read this section, verses 5 through 8, and let's see what the Lord has for us here tonight. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. This is a very familiar passage, so I'm not going to review or rehash everything that is talked about here, but we can all kind of imagine this situation because Jesus makes it a very clear picture for us. So he tells a very clear story. Which of us, if we had a friend who came to us in an hour of need, would not go out and do something for them if they were that good of a friend? We would go out of our way to help them. Now, culturally, there are some differences, but if it came down to it and we really had no food in our house and we desperately needed it for a hungry friend, we probably would go call somebody up or knock on somebody's door late at night if it was really an emergency of some kind. And in this culture, it was an emergency for somebody to show up after a long journey and not have anything to set before them. That was a big deal in that culture. And so this is not just any ordinary situation. This is an urgent situation. And what we have here, first of all, is an urgent request. This man, this friend, is coming to another friend at midnight because somebody has come to him unexpected. This is not something he was looking for. It wasn't on the calendar. It wasn't a scheduled event. It was an unexpected thing. And because it was unexpected, it created an urgent need, an urgent request. This person who came to him was somebody who needed bread. They needed food. They needed sustenance. There was something in their life that they could not provide themselves, and it was a critical need. So the friend comes, and it's an unusual hour. It's not at noon, which is a good time for eating. It wasn't even at 6 p.m. It was at midnight. And some people would say, well, that's a good time for eating, too. Well, it can be. But that's not a normal time for eating for most people. It's an abnormal time. It's an urgent situation. It's an unusual situation, an unexpected situation. And it says that he's going to a friend. So we don't find this person, he's not going to the local food bank and he's not going to a stranger. There's a relationship here that's already been established. And he goes to his friend with his urgent request on behalf of this other friend. Now, if we were to take that, bring that down to application, make it practical for us right now, we would say this is would probably be like us running across somebody, or maybe even this is somebody we already know, and becoming aware, maybe for the first time, but or maybe becoming reaware of a deep spiritual need in their life. A need that really can only be fulfilled by, as we're going to see later, by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit working out the life of Christ in them. And a lot of times those situations, it's all of a sudden. It can surprise us when we see those needs. Because, you know, we have our own lives to live. We're not always around these people with the spiritual needs. So when the spiritual need comes across our path, it can surprise us. It can be in inconvenient times. And so our response should not be to say, well, it's just, this is not a good time, so I'm not going to do anything about it. Instead, it should be to say, well, there is a friend who can meet this need, and even though it's an inconvenient time, the need is urgent enough that I'm going to take it to that friend. There was also an unexpected lack in this situation. How often have you been in a situation where there was somebody that came to you or you ran across their path and they had a spiritual need, but in your own life you felt that there was a lack of ability, a lack of wisdom, a lack of power to do anything about it? Well, that's exactly where this guy finds himself here. He comes to his other friend at midnight. He's knocking on the door because of this unexpected situation, and he says, I haven't got any bread. There was an unexpected, an unanticipated need. And I imagine that it would be something like this. You know, maybe you're out on the job, or you're out at the grocery store, or you're just doing the normal deeds of life. You're just going through life, and all of a sudden, this individual comes across your path and their need strikes you as, here's someone with a real deep spiritual need, but I haven't really been spending a lot of time in prayer and in the Word. I don't really feel equipped today. I don't feel filled with the Spirit. I feel like I myself have a need. It's an unanticipated thing because I didn't look for it at the start of the day. When I went out, I wasn't expecting this. It was unanticipated. And I myself have a need. So it's not just this individual that's in deep spiritual need, but I myself am in need if I'm going to see their need met by the Lord. If I'm going to see God use me to reach their need, then I first need to get in touch with the one who can meet my own lack. The unexpected lack, of course, is no bread. Now, the bread, it's interesting that he chooses to use the word bread. He could have used fish, he could have used several different things, but he chooses bread. And I think it'll become abundantly clear why he uses bread later on. But does bread strike you as something interesting for Jesus to mention? Why is that? What do we think of when we see Jesus talking about bread a lot of times in the New Testament? He's the bread of life. We immediately think of John chapter 6, after the feeding of the 5,000, where he turns it around and he says, you've eaten this physical bread, but unless you partake of me, you don't have eternal life. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats of me shall have everlasting life. So we have Jesus himself giving us the idea that bread should make us think, okay, we're not just talking about any else need here. We're actually talking about a need for Jesus in some way. We may be talking about a need for eternal life. I think that's the major emphasis of this passage. But we could be talking about somebody who is a believer and is just in real need of some clear spiritual encouragement in some way. Both of those things come through Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. So when I go out and I run across an unexpected situation and I'm lacking, I'm not lacking Jesus Christ in me, but I might be lacking that fellowship with Jesus Christ that I need in that moment, that walk with Jesus Christ I need in that moment to meet their need. So what's the remedy? Is the remedy to turn around, throw up my hands and walk away and say, oh well, I really don't feel like it today. I really can't reach these people today because I don't have what I need. Well, no. What did he do? He went at midnight and began hammering on the door of his friend. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time I had somebody hammer on my door in the middle of the night, my wife can tell you this, it wasn't exactly something I expected, nor did I get up to do anything about it. I just waited for him to go away. It's not normal. It's not expected for that sort of thing to happen. So this friend here, and again, we have to remember that these people, Jesus is giving human illustrations. So what we see in these human illustrations is not necessarily a picture of how God responds to us. But we can get a glimpse into how challenging it would be, challenging it really is, in situations like that. How many of you, just let's take a quick straw poll, raise of hands, how many of you would feel perfectly comfortable with going to a good friend's house in the middle of the night and hammering on the door without being expected? That's a very, very small number. And you'd have to be careful which friends too, right, Brother Mark? Because some of them would come out, but they'd come out with a gun. So it's not something, the vast majority of us are not comfortable with doing that. Why? Well, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is we don't want to impose or we don't want to disturb somebody. And we feel, in this situation, we would feel bad because this is something we're supposed to have already. We'd feel embarrassment. So there has to be, if we're going to see this happen, there has to be an urgency in our own heart that this is something we really need. It's got to be done. And that friend that he's going to, notice, that friend really has everything this guy needs. This friend has the bread. The issue is not that the friend doesn't have it. The issue is simply that this other guy has to go ask for it, and he's got to be insistent. Why? Because it's after midnight, and this friend is in bed already, and it's not really convenient. Now, when we talk about the friend, who are we talking about? We're actually not talking about Jesus. He's not the one who's providing the bread. If we go down a few verses further, look at verse 13. This is a phrase Jesus loves to use when he's giving explanations about prayer. And he says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more?" So that's the key phrase. Jesus loves to use this when he's talking about prayer, this "how much more." "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" So here is a man who comes to God the Father and he's seeking something specific. What is he seeking? He's seeking the Holy Spirit of God to fill him so he can meet the spiritual need of this other individual. While humanly speaking, that man coming at this urgent time, this unexpected hour, this very inconvenient hour, humanly speaking, he has to be very persistent. The Bible says he was importunate. That means he was very stubborn about it. He had to insist, but how much more? Does God the Father want to give the Holy Spirit to us to do His will, to meet the needs of others? Why does he draw that contrast? When we come to the Lord on behalf of others, when we come to the Lord to see their needs met, either in this form of, maybe we would call it intercession, maybe we would simply call it, we're pleading for ourselves here to be filled with the Spirit of God. What is it that guarantees the answer? What is it that guarantees us receiving the Spirit of God to be able to be used to meet that individual's need? Is it our importunity? Is it our stubbornness as we come again and again and we hammer on the door of heaven and we say, "We need bread. They're hungry out here, don't you know?" See, there's several weaknesses, if you will, with the parable. That Jesus, of course, knew this because he was using human beings. That's why he says, "How much more?" But the friend, the human friend in the parable, didn't know there was another friend that came on a journey until he was told by the other guy. He didn't know this other friend was coming for bread. He didn't expect it. He was already in bed. He had shut the door and all those other things. He was sleeping. Those are all things that God doesn't have issues with. First of all, God knows exactly when that individual is going to come across our path with a spiritual need, whether that's to be saved or to be encouraged. Second of all, God knows when we are going to come to Him and ask. So He's already prepared the provision. And it's not a situation where He's surprised when we come. And third of all, He doesn't sleep. You remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal. He was able to mock them throughout that entire day because it was like their God, their false God, was asleep. But Jehovah never sleeps. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He's always ready to supply the need. And specifically the need of the Holy Spirit to whoever asks. So we have a big contrast here. How much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So if we put it in down to practical terms where we live right now, we're going to run into these people at unexpected times, and it's going to be urgent situations, sudden situations. That kind of tells us that this particular passage is not necessarily talking about praying for somebody specific for a long amount of time. Jesus here is dealing specifically with a situation where there's a need right now. It's an urgent need that needs to be met quickly. And we run across these in all sorts of different life situations. It's not something we prepare ourselves for. And oftentimes when we run into them, we kind of run into them flat-footed. But the provision is there. And if we recognize, I don't have it in myself, and I'm going to forget the fact, I'm going to forget about my own embarrassment, my lack of spiritual preparedness, and I'm going to turn to the One who is always ready. I'm going to go knock on His door, and I'm going to say, Lord, I need the Spirit of God right now to work and to meet this person's need. And according to Luke chapter 11, when we ask that, He will give it. That's where the how much more comes in. So it's not a matter of me stopping everything and saying, hey, can you wait here while I run and pray for an hour or two and really plead with God to give me what I need to meet your need, to reach you, to work with you. It's not that way at all. It is almost, in a sense, a flare prayer, but not in the sense of just throwing up a prayer, but in a sense of just an absolute need. Here, God, I'm in a situation, I don't have any idea what to do. I need Your Spirit right now for this person. Would You fill me right now? Would You help me right now? Would You meet their need through me? And it's connecting the power of God in a situation where I have no power whatsoever. And you know, we could take that even further and say that, you know, really this should be our attitude all the time when we're praying for the lost and we're praying for people in spiritual need. There is an urgency. Lost people are on their way to hell and we don't know how much time that they have before that they pass away. Why shouldn't we have an attitude of urgency? Lord, would You work in their hearts? Holy Spirit, would You work in their hearts to save them? And if I get an opportunity, Lord, would You remind me in that moment to depend on You so that You can reach them? That ought to be our attitude really all the time. But this specific passage, this specific emphasis of this parable, this story that the Lord is giving here, is to emphasize the fact that in that moment, where it's urgent, where it's unexpected, where we feel completely unprepared, He is ready to give the Holy Spirit if we simply ask, if we recognize the need and we simply ask. That's how the Lord provides. And that's how prayer is directly connected with outreach. You notice how He made outreach and this meeting a need something that was so unexpected and just it happened in the course of life. That's because outreach is supposed to be that way. Outreach is not so much about what we do on Saturday as what we do on Sunday through Saturday every week. It's about not so much our formal time where we go out and we knock on doors or we hang door hangers or we talk to people about the Lord as a matter of our duty. but it's what we do when we run across people in spiritual need. It's how we respond, how we go to the Lord and we find Him our complete provision in that sort of situation. A life connected to God, connected to Jesus, connected to the Spirit that is meeting spiritual needs just as they come up at those unexpected and urgent times. So, as we go throughout our week, as we go through the next number of weeks, let's try to keep that in mind. I am going to run into people who are in deep spiritual need and they need help fast. They need it now. I'm also going to not feel like it at the same time. Both of those things are going to be true. So what I need to remember is there is complete provision in the Holy Spirit of God. And I need to see that this really is important. It really is urgent. And cry out to Him and receive the Holy Spirit, His power, His wisdom in that moment, so that they then can receive the Spirit themselves in salvation or in the encouragement in Jesus that they need. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.